Good morning. My name is Kehlani Forbes, and the scripture reading today is Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Ephesians 5, 21 through 33.
Hey, can we give a hand to the worship team, to Kehlani, to Katie for communion, to Lila for announcements, to the tech team up there, just everyone who made this service possible. Thank you, guys. Thank you all. Well, good morning, church. How are you doing this morning? Good. Good to see you all. My name is David Perez, and whether you are in person or online, we are so glad to have you here. I am the associate minister here at the church, and I am both excited and wildly nervous to preach this morning. Some of you are like, what did he do to deserve that passage? I chose it. I'm crazy, I know, right? Yeah, it's not all here. But thank you for being here this morning. Truly, I'm humbled that I get to share with you all this morning and engage God's word with all of you, my fellow saints. Now, you'll notice I got a hammer up here. No, that's not to use in case anyone gets too mad at me, okay? This hammer, okay, can be used for multiple things. It can be used to build and create, right? I mean, this building, there's probably a lot of people who use some hammers to help create this beautiful building we're in, to create this stage I'm standing on. This, when used properly and correctly, is a tool for building up. However, when used improperly, in the wrong hands with the wrong intent, this same hammer that can create can destroy, can it? This same hammer that can build up can hurt. It can even kill. Now, I think there are some passages in Scripture that were intended to be used to edify the body, to build us up in Christ. However, that have historically been used to hurt and damage people. I think Ephesians 5, 21 through 33 is probably one of the most prominent passages that I believe the Apostle Paul meant it to edify the church, to build up the bride of Christ, but for a long time has actually been used as a weapon. Instead of building, we've caused harm. And so this morning, my hope is that I illuminate to us, I reveal to us Paul's, and I think God's intended purpose of building up and edifying his body through this passage, and not harm. Now, I'm going to talk through, as I've read and studied, my best interpretation of this, of what I think Paul's getting at. You may disagree, and that's okay. I would invite you to come have a dialogue with me. Let's talk it through, but just know that we're going to do our best to look at what the Scripture says. So with that, I'm going to pray one more time, and then we're going to hop into Ephesians 5, 21 through 33, more commonly known as the household codes. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this day. Lord, I love that we sang, King Jesus. King Jesus, here we are before you. Lord, I pray that you would speak through me this morning, that you would speak through your word. Holy Spirit, just fill this room. Be in every single word that I say. Open hearts and ears to your word and your message, Lord God. Reveal to us how you want to build up your body, your bride, Lord Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done, your sacrifice for us, and your reign as King, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, before we hop into our text this morning, I got to give us a little bit of context to Ephesians, okay? Ephesians, if you have not read it, is a beautiful, beautiful text. One of my favorite books in all of Scripture. One of Paul's main themes in Ephesians is Christ's victory over the powers of sin and death. In other words, Christ is the king of the entire universe. He rules everything. He has all power and authority. On the cross and through his resurrection, Jesus Christ defeated the powers of sin and death. And his reign that we are now a part of, right? In knowing Christ and believing in him, we are a part of him. And so because of Christ's kingly reign over all of the universe, that changes everything about how we interact. That changes the way we view this world, the way we view all of creation, and the way we view one another. And so Paul, right, talking about this, talks big picture, Christ's reign, what that means for all of the cosmos, and then he gets very specific, because if you're like me, you want to know, that's really big picture, Paul. Okay, but what does that mean for me every single day? You're talking up here, Paul. You've kind of lost me a little bit. What does it mean for my daily life? And so that's what Paul is doing here. He's hopping in and he's saying, look, this is what this Christ, what Christ's reign means for your daily life. And specifically, this is what it means for your relationships and what it means for the church. And so that's what Paul is hopping into when we're looking at these household codes, when we're looking at 21 through 33. But we've got to get even just a little bit more context here. We got to look at actually verse 18, okay? So before we get into, right, our bulk of the sermon here, Paul talks about this. So he's talking about some of the other stuff that's going on and some of the acts of the flesh. And he says in 18, he says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Okay, so he's saying don't do the ways of the old flesh. He says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. So he says, instead of participating in the old ways, be filled with the Spirit. And then what follows is Paul is going to tell us, and we're going to read it, what does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? We know what the acts of the flesh are. What does it look like to be filled with the Spirit practically? And this is what Paul says. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So far, we've got singing, scripture. We've got making music from our heart to the Lord. We've got giving thanks. And then Paul says this next line, okay? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, we often read that, and if you're looking at your text, it's under another subheading. And so we read that as separate, but actually what's going on here is that verse 21 is actually part of 18 through 20. So it should read, right? Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So what Paul is saying, he's saying life in the Spirit looks like singing and worshiping and praising and reading scripture and thanksgiving and submission. Now, reading it that way, that is definitely one of those things where you're going, Paul, why did you say that? Because I don't know about you, but last time I checked, submission is not an American virtue, is it? right? Yeah, I got some laughs. Correct. No. In our day and age, in our culture, we are about my power, my authority, my freedom. I think Elvis, actually, I'm going to pull my phone out because I want to read this. I think Elvis summed this up perfectly and what our culture values when he said this. Some of you heard the song. I'm not going to sing it because I know Paul tells us to sing, but you don't want to hear me sing. That's not a joyful noise to the Lord. He says, "For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. To say the words he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows," finish it with me, "and did it whose way? My way." Yeah. See, our culture values. Yes, I looked it up. I think Elvis was the original. I know, I was surprised too. I've only heard the Sinatra version as well. But he points to what our culture values, right? I didn't kneel to anyone else. I did it my way. But Paul is saying, life in the Spirit, life in Christ is marked by singing and psalms and scripture and thanksgiving and by mutual submission to one another. In other words, he's saying a big part of being a Christian is saying, not what I want, not my way, but your way. Not my way, but your way. Now, before we hop into this, we've got to define what submission means, because I think we've got a wrong interpretation of it. I think we read it wrong. It's got a bad connotation, doesn't it? Here's what it means within our context, the way Paul is defining it. Submission is a willing choice, okay, my willing choice, to put my own desires and preferences and needs aside and to do what the other person wants. In other words, it's saying, it's not about me, it's actually about you. Rather than do what I want or take care of what I need, I'm going to submit, I'm going to say, it's about what you want and what you need. So when Paul talks about that mutual submission, that's what he means. He does not mean, when we say submit to one another, he does not mean absolute or forced obedience. That's not what Paul's talking about here. You find that definition of submission out there in the world. You definitely found it in Paul's day and age. But that's not the Christian view of submission. It's not dominance. It is also not the license for abuse. Talking about that hammer, right? This text has been used to justify saying, you're supposed to submit, and has turned abusive. That's not what Paul is talking about here. Abuse is never okay within the Christian context and framework. Paul is also talking about this idea, this mutual submission, is within a Christian framework. So when he talks about husbands and wives, which we're going to get to, he's talking within a Christian marriage. When he's talking about mutual submission to one another, he's talking to a body of believers. And so the mutual submission we're going to be talking about this morning is actually framed by our submission to Christ first. We've got to remember that. When we're talking about, when Paul says submit to one another, what does he say? Because I told you so? No, out of reverence for Christ, it is first that we must submit ourselves to King Jesus. As believers, we say, Lord, not what I want, not what I desire, but it's about you first and foremost. That's the context of what we're talking about. And what Paul is going to do is he's going to say, let me show you how this looks like in marriage as an illustration and an example of what this is supposed to look like among all believers. Let me use marriage as an example as to what this is going to look like when the world looks at the church. All right, so let's hop into it. Now, before we hop into 22, actually, there's one more thing I got to note. When Paul calls us to mutually submit, because we're going to read about, right? He's going to talk to the women first and then to the men. Paul is talking about both men and women submitting to each other. Okay, he's talking about submit to one another. It's a mutual submission. What we discover is actually, if we read in verse 22, originally the word submit was not in that verse. It's brought down from 21. And so really the way it reads, right, Paul says this, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, yourselves to your own husbands as you do the Lord. And so what this does is Paul is framing the entire verses that follow by first submission to Christ and then submission, mutual submission to one another. So it's not just one party submit, it's both. And when we do that, our relationships actually get transformed into something greater, something deeper, something more powerful that paints a very, very powerful picture of the world. So let's find out how Paul calls us both, men and women, to submit to one another, how he calls us as believers to submit to one another as we submit to Christ. So first, wives, let's hop into verse 22. Wives, yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Here's what Paul is actually saying here. He's saying, wives, you've been given freedom. Okay, in Paul's day and age, women would not have even been mentioned. He actually would have gone straight to the men. Most writers, they would have said, men, this is how you control your household and this is how you run it. This is how everyone below you obeys. Forced obedience, this is how they listen to you. But Paul actually addresses women. He's saying, in Christ, you have been made free. In Christ, you are free. And so he's saying, what do you do with that freedom? What do you do with that freedom that you've been given? Paul says, use your freedom to submit. He's saying, rather than focus on my rights and my freedom, turn your view to your husband and say, it's not about what I want. It's not about what I need. It's not about my newfound freedom in Christ, because again, women in this day and age didn't have much of it, if any of it. But he's saying, no, no, the kingdom ethic is to look to your husband and say, it's not about me. As I submit to Christ, as I give up my freedom to him, I'm going to submit my freedom to you. What do you want? What do you need? Now, men, before you look over at your wife and go, you are not off the hook. Paul's given women three verses, and he said, use your freedom, right, to submit to Christ and submit to your husband. But men, he gives us seven, okay? So, women, use your freedom to uphold the freedom of the other by submitting to them. And this only works if you submit to Christ first. Men, listen to what Paul says. All right, 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Now we read this, and we're like, well, of course we're supposed to love. All right, of course we're supposed to serve. What we don't realize is that when Paul talks about cleansing and washing and loving and serving, in that day and age, that's not what a man did. In that day and age, you know who cleansed and washed and loved and served? You take a guess? Women. That was a woman's responsibility. That was actually a slave's responsibility. And so what Paul is saying is he's saying, you want to know, men, what the model of mutual submission, what the model of Christ is? Look to your wife. He's saying, in the washing, in the cleansing, in the loving, in the serving, that's who Christ is. Men, that's what you're supposed to do. You see, he's saying, yes, you have power and authority, man. You do. You know what you're called to do with that power and authority? Submit. You're supposed to give it up, and rather than say it's about what I want, it's about what I need, it's about what I think, you're supposed to say, no, no, no. Let me take care of you. Let me serve you. Let me go, it's not about my wants and needs and desires, but how do I uphold your wants, your needs, your desires? Women are a picture of transformed freedom through submission to Christ and submission to her husband. And men, you are to be a picture of transformed power through your submission of that power to Christ and your submission of that power to your wife. Do you see how that creates mutuality? Wives, you're called to say, not about me, what do you want, what do you need, how do I care for you? Husbands, you're called to say, it's not about my power, not about what I want, what I need, but how do I serve you? Isn't that a beautiful picture? We take care of one another when we submit to Christ first and we submit to each other. And that's what Paul gets at when he closes us in verse 33. He says, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. He closes this picture of mutuality when he says, husbands love, wives respect. But that takes saying it's not about me, it's about you. Now, some of you are sitting here going, I'm not married. Does this apply to me? Yes. Remember what I said at the beginning? Paul is using this as a picture for all believers. The marriage relationship, the mutuality within it, the reciprocal love and respect, the giving up of freedom, the giving up of power, under Christ and to one another is to be a picture to all believers. This is what the church is supposed to look like. And so regardless of whether or not you are married, this is what this means for us. And this is your first little fill in the blank here. In Christ, our relationships are redefined by love and mutual submission. All of us. Our relationships are no longer defined by any other category. They're not defined by job title. They're not defined by status. They're not defined by role, by gender. Paul is saying, as Christians, as believers, Christ in his reign redefines a relationship so that it's about love and mutual submission. It is about love and saying, I'm choosing to give up my freedom and my power. I'm choosing to say it's not about what I want, but rather it's about what you want. It's not about what I need, but rather it's about what you need. And our relationships just flourish when they do that, when we do that, don't they? In fact, here's what I want you to think of. I want you to think of a person or a relationship that you feel models Christ. Everyone got one in their head? What characteristics define that person or that relationship? Is it selfishness? Is it power? Is it domination? Is it me-focused? No. When we think of someone who models Christ, when we think of a relationship that models Christ, we think of someone who is sacrificial. We think of someone who serves. We think of someone who loves. We think of someone who puts themselves second. We think of someone who's going, it's not my will, God, but yours. What have we just described? Exactly what Paul gets at. We've just described the mutual submission that Paul begins with in verse 21. Submit to one another. Now, as I thought about how to close this, I realized that two things. One, when we embody this, when we do this, when we let go of our freedom and power, what we do is we move from pointing to ourselves to embodying Christ. When in the church, we do this in all of our relationships, we move from pointing to ourselves to embodying Christ. We become a picture of Christ to the world that's out there that wants to know who this Jesus is. I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team back on up. So I'm in my kitchen last night. I just got back from vacation. In case you didn't know, I look a little tanner, don't I? I was in Florida all week. Thank you. I'm working through the sermon one more time. I'm trying to figure out how am I going to land this. And then I remember I just spent a week with my daughter. Okay, I've got a little 2.5-year-old, and then I've got another little daughter on the way. And one of the things I realized, I knew this before, but this really gets highlighted when you are like 24/7 with your with your toddler, is that they watch everything, don't they? And they repeat everything, right? The good things and the bad. So if Nora ever says anything bad, it was my wife, it wasn't me, okay? All right? I'm just kidding, honey. She's watching at home. No one believes that. You all know it'd be for me. But I realize not only does she repeat everything I say and do, but she watches what I do. My daughter, Nora, hi Nora, I love you. My daughter, Nora, and our other daughter who's going to come in November are going to watch how I treat their mother. They are going to watch how I treat you all and how I treat my neighbor. And how I treat my mother and my family, my friends, right? They're going to watch and they're going to see how I behave. And my daughters are going to watch and listen as I talk about King Jesus, as I talk about the man, the God, who went to a cross and died for my sins and defeated the power of sin and death. They're going to listen as I say, that's who I follow. He changed everything. And they're going to go, do the two line up? Does how dad treats mom Does that line up with who he says Jesus is? Or are they a different picture? Does how Dad treats all the people in this church, does it line up with who he says Jesus is? Or does it paint a different picture? You see, I've got the opportunity, even though I'm imperfect and I'm going to get it wrong, and I've already got it wrong. My goodness, you could ask my wife, I have gotten it wrong a lot. But my hope and my prayer is that as I grow closer to Christ, as I ask him to continually, day in and day out, Jesus, transform me. Jesus, make me more like you. Jesus, draw me close to you. I've got the opportunity to embody Christ. I've got the opportunity for my daughters to look and say, you know what, Dad? Yeah, we know we were watching you, but there was a few moments there where we got glimpses of Jesus and not you. Where we didn't see Dad, we saw the King Jesus that you told us about. And what I realized as I was pacing my kitchen last night and as I was thinking of this and thinking of my daughters, I realized, you know what? The rest of the world looks at the church the same way. The world is going, you talk about this King Jesus who loved and served and gave his life up for you. You talk about this King Jesus who said, not my will, Father, but yours. You talk about this King Jesus who washed the feet of his disciples. Does that line up with how you treat one another? You see, we've got the opportunity, church, to embody Jesus. We've got the opportunity for the world out there to say, you know what? For a moment there, even in your imperfection, I was looking at Jesus. I saw Jesus. My hope and my prayer, church, is that as we go out, as we love one another, as we mutually submit, as we serve, that we would not point to ourselves, but that we would point others to King Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day and this time. Lord, thank you for this wonderful body, these saints that are in this room, Lord God. Thank you for the chance to get to read your word, Lord. Lord, sometimes we aren't glad when you call us to give up of ourselves, Lord God, but you know what? At the end of the day, we are sure so thankful for the fact that you take, Lord God, our freedom, our power, what we have, Lord God, and when we give it to you, when we submit to you, Lord God, you transform us, you transform our relationships, Lord God, in such a way, Lord Jesus, that we can become Jesus to those who don't know you, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would draw each and every single person in this room close to you. I pray that you would draw each and every single person watching online close to you, Lord God. Lord, I pray that as we love one another, as we mutually submit to one another, as we love you, Lord Jesus, as we submit to you and your will, Lord God, I pray that you would continue to change us and continue to transform the world around us, that people would not see us, Lord God, but that they would see you, our King, our Savior. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.